We didn't play Sanford and Son. Okay, it's all right. It's all right. We'll adapt. I was just enjoying Blitzkrieg Bop, and then I realized, oh, man, we didn't play Sanford and Son. We've got on the line with us Bruce Woody, the executive director for the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA, the folks who handle your sewer and your water and your trash, or what they call your solid waste. Bruce Woody, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning, Andrew. Hey, who doesn't like the Ramones?
Yeah, they're right. I mean, you know, you can't really complain about that. It's not the one we normally use for you. All right, so first, I want to make sure and start with this because I will forget otherwise. I want to give props to your folks. We've been clearing out some, you know, tree and yard debris out of our backyard, and we had brought out like 4 piles and like 12 bags, and the guys came by, truck 47G, they came by, and I did not realize there was a pile limit per week. They informed us. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. So they picked up 2 piles because that's the limit, and then 6 by 6 by 6, and then up to 20 bags is what I'm told. You correct me if I'm wrong. And then just thinking, well, we'll just leave it out there for a week, and they'll pick it up next week. Well, they showed up again in a couple of hours, which I guess they had run the rest of their route, and they had spare time. So they came back, and they took – I mean, these guys were the best. They were super helpful, super friendly. And I just want to give them credit, you know, because – I know you probably hear complaints a lot, and I wanted to give credit where credit is due. So thank you for having good employees.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, we do have a limit, but that's to try to assure that we can make it to the end of the route, and somebody at the end of the route doesn't fail to get service because we run out of room or run out of time at the end of the day.
Right.
Obviously, that crew had a little extra space at the end and came back for you.
I love it. It was just great customer service. I've always been impressed. And, you know, like we'll be missing a can or a can gets broken and we get one within a couple of days. I mean, just, you know, very, very responsive. So I always appreciate that. Things from the board meeting yesterday. You guys were, you know, it's the new fiscal year, so you're spending money. Is that right? Which is good. I mean, that's the appropriate thing. But what are you buying?
Yeah, pretty typical for public entities, and ECUA is no different. Yesterday, we spent, oh, goodness gracious, probably a little over $5 million on buying equipment. Combination sewer cleaners, those pieces of equipment that you see with the big tanks on the back that we used to clean the sewer system. Bought one of those at $636,000. We bought another closed-circuit television truck that we use to inspect sewer systems to identify breaks or root problems and things such as that, about $433,000. Big item really was we're continuing our replacement of our fleet. We purchased 9 Kenworth side loaders. Those are the largest garbage trucks that you see that we use for picking up trash as well as recycling, about $417,000 a piece. So we spent about $3.7 million on that. It's worth noting that those 9 come on top of recently receiving 19 additional side loaders earlier in the year. So we replaced about a third of the fleet in the last couple of years.
Wow. So the fleet is in the like 90, is the total fleet like in the 90 vicinity, 90 trucks?
110 if you include the small and support vehicles as
okay.
well. But yes.
Wow. Okay. And so what are they on? What's their lifespan? I mean, like, is it 20 years? Is it 10 years? Is it 5 years? Like, I have no idea.
Ideally, we try to turn those vehicles in the range of about 7 to 9 years, depending on miles
okay.
and hours on them.
Okay.
Our 2012 fleet is almost 12 years old
yeah.
because of all the delays from COVID. In fact, part of that 19 fleet were originally ordered in 2022.
Oh, wow.
It
okay.
took that long to get. To get them in.
Are they do they also have resale value, the old ones? I mean, I would assume anything has resale value, but you tell me, is this something you can, you know, sell off to smaller municipalities or people that might not mind taking an old one onto their fleet?
Very good question. Quite a bit of our older fleet are compressed natural gas, CNG vehicles. Those have virtually no resale value whatsoever. They're very difficult to maintain, and CNG is not available everywhere as well. So we get little more than scrap metal values for salvage value on those.
So we really got screwed on the CNG trucks. I mean, they were expensive. They didn't work well. They don't have good endurance. They're hard to maintain, and we get no money selling them at the end because people don't want them. Is that basically
True. The only value was the savings and cost of fuel over the life of the vehicle.
Sure.
But that didn't quite, in our analysis, doesn't quite cover the cost of all those other items.
And that, so and by the way, that was a decision made before you came on as executive director, right? The move to CNG was
true.
Yeah, I just wanted, you know.
But in their defense, at that particular time, CNG was so cheap that it did make some sense.
And so everything we have now is diesel, right? Everything we have now and we're buying now is all diesel.
We have a few CNG that came in and from those 19 that we bought, but everything going forward, those 9 we just purchased are diesel. Diesel's clean enough now that it's producing exhaust that's as clean as CNG, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
With gas and other things that we add to it. So, yes, the first cost is lower. The operation cost for maintenance is lower. And we actually do have a resale. Yes, there is a strong salvage value of trash.
You're going to continue to tell me stuff you spent on, but I did want to ask you just a quick question. you got to authorize the spending of $5 million yesterday. Was that fun at all? Like, you know, I think of spending $5 million on cars being fun, but I just wonder, is it at all a thrill in any way?
Over the course of my career, the more exciting expenses were municipal wastewater project I did probably 15 years ago. It was $120 million.
Wow.
That was a pretty exciting one.
Okay. All right. You make sure you got it right because that's a lot of money. But I was just kind of curious because, you know, most people don't spend that kind of money on the regular basis. But you were going to tell me other stuff that you guys authorized yesterday or that you started working on yesterday.
Yeah, just some trivia. We have 96,000 sanitation customers, and that produces that means we have an inventory of about 198,000 trash cans in the system. If you can imagine that. Yesterday, we purchased an additional $500,000 worth at $52 each. That replaces about 5% of our cans per year. Which we need to do in order to keep up with new customers, container replacement due to wear and damage, and such as that. So we replace about 5% of our cans a year.
Okay. Do they have a 20-year lifespan? Is that because if you're doing 5 a year and not accounting for growth and damage, but does that work out? Does that pencil out?
Yes, that's about it. We're a little lower than average. Industry-wide, it's about 7 to even as high as 10%.
Okay.
It depends on how urbanized the area is. It seems to be a lot more damage in more urban areas.
Okay.
More densely urban areas, but 5% is about our average.
I suppose that makes sense with maybe car traffic or just mishandling or whatever. Interesting. Okay. You guys are also working on some of the water well projects, right?
We are. We're also replacing service lines. Our charged water wells, our Elvin McCorby well, we're in a section near just north of I Street in Cervantes. The ground storage tank is done. The well's been drilled. We have a new well head installed. And now we're currently building the water treatment portion of the building. We're looking forward to bringing that project online in early summer of next year. It's making good progress. Over on our West 9 Mile project, we finished the foundations for 8 new granular activated carbon filters. Next, we'll be setting those GAC tanks and installing all the piping. That project will finish up in the spring. And then over on our W and Avery well, we just issued a notice to proceed for installing new foundations for 4 GAC filters over at that well.
When those projects are done, will that mean that everywhere we detected PFAS, we will have filtration in place to solve for that? That's how I remember us talking about this in the past, but you tell me, is that going to bring us to that point, or are we already at that point?
No, we're not quite there. We have 28 wells altogether. Before the rule even came down from the federal government that set new PFAS limit goals that are to be established 5 years from roughly 5 years from today, we already had 15 of our wells with GAC on them. ECUA has been very proactive about that. We saw that coming down the pike.
Yeah.
So we've been working on that for many years.
To your credit, yes.
So here's another 3 that'll be done pretty soon. By the way, the Alvin McCorkle well actually is replacing another well that already has GAC on it.
Oh, okay.
And so we try to do one or two a year, and we'll be done in advance of that 5 year.
It just you make me think of a question that I think I've wanted to ask for a long time, but maybe I didn't ask. Is you say it's a surface tank for storage of the water? That's the norm these days, right? You don't typically build water tanks up in the air like we're used to seeing. Like, of course, exist all around. Like the beach ball used to be, but is decommissioned, and the Blue Angels one down I-110 is, of course, that's still functional. But is there a reason? What is the reason for not building them up in the air anymore? Or am I wrong that they don't?
It really varies depending on locations and topography and various other factors. Probably more communities are going toward ground storage just for the aesthetics of not having something up in the air. But there's reliability issues. When you build them on the ground, of course, you can build them much larger. The ones on the ground,
sure,
you have anywhere from 500,000 to 1,000,000. They will build some at 2 or 3. The largest one that we've ever heard of being built in the air is 5 million gallons, and that is really a monstrosity of a tank to be putting up in the air. Most of the ones on the ground you'll see, however, will generally be anywhere from 3 to 6 million.
Okay, so they're more capacity. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then
you don't have.
Go ahead.
You don't have the maintenance cost of repainting them and spraying. And that's, for instance, the tank that has all the logos on it by I-110. We spent $1.1 million painting that. Just a few years ago.
Yep, and I love the fact that you guys pivoted on that and created all the art that is so iconic. I really appreciate that. I know that was a bit of a conversation. Last thing, I think you guys also you mentioned it that you're working on line inspection and line service replacement. Is that right?
Yes, we have 115,000 water service lines in our system. We're going to be spending $1.6 million. Next year, replacing service lines. We try to be proactive and do whole neighborhoods at a time so that we don't have a series of problems in neighborhoods as we realize that they're getting to the end of the service life. We're going to be replacing close to 1,000 of those next year in the following neighborhoods: Myrtle Grove West, 261, Pine Lakes West, about 85 services, Robbins Ridge, phase 1 and 2, about 197 services, Corriedale Subdivision, 219 services, along our drive, we've got 46 services, and then in Lost Creek Subdivision, 126 services.
Outstanding. Well, Bruce, it is always a lot of stuff that you guys are working on, and it's such an important part of our lives that nobody thinks about it until it's not working right. But garbage collection, recyclable collection, all of your yard waste, your getting of your water, your getting rid of your sewer, all of that stuff, you guys take such good care of it. I appreciate it. Bruce Woody, he is the executive director at EC Way. We'll talk to you again next month, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Always appreciate the opportunity.